Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N Word. I want you to holler at me, so give me a call, 347-826-7435. That's the call-in number. Once again, call-in number is 347-826-7435. And if you're afraid to call me, I want to hear from you anyway. Email a brother, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Once again, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Questions, comments, concerns, anything that's on your mind that you're afraid to call, I'll say it for you. Now, I also ask that you social network with me. If you're on Facebook, go to my Smooth Drama group, myself or Mr. J will hook you up and add you to the group if you're interested there. Twitter, Instagram, wherever, Google Smooth Drama. If you're watching me live on tag, wherever you want to holler at me, add me and we can talk about whatever. I'm open. Welcome to our delusional, you want to say rape show? I just say delusional show. We just talk about the different delusions that's going on out there today. Starting with New York City. I almost got to New York City, but it didn't happen. Anyway, New York City. The strippers are on strike. They're fighting. I don't mean to laugh, but they're fighting for equal treatment with the bartenders. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, they're fighting for equal treatment from the bartenders, and supposedly it's a group of the top African American and Latino strippers in New York. They're on strike, and what they're claiming is that they will not return to work until clubs give them equal treatment with bartenders. They said, according to one of their spokespersons, that bartenders get preferential treatment at New York City clubs, and the drink pourers often make more money than the dancers, even though they never have to take off their clothes. Now, I was like, it sounds good. I mean, because, you know, hey, I'm out here and it's a working profession, right? I mean, we know that they're not into stripping because the stereotype is if they're a stripper, they're a hoe, right? And if they're a hoe, that means that they're a loose woman and that they're not a human being. They're below human beings, right? When we know, realistically, that women who are stripping, they're actually putting themselves through college. Some are putting themselves through college. And as I say, they want to be treated as human beings. I mean, they're being objectified for their bodies, but they're saying their bodies are beautiful. And if you're going to partake in my body, I should be paid accordingly. Respect my hustle. I can respect that. You know, people who want to be treated fairly, I would never argue against that. You know, even if it's stripper, some folks are like, nah, they're tripping. Because, you know, you read the comments on it, and, you know, the comments are brutal. But a lot of these comments come from folks who go to the strip clubs because, quite frankly, they have no shot at seeing regular women naked. I mean, I won't stereotype because there's a stereotype that that dudes go to strip clubs because, quite frankly, they can't get it at home, or they just can't get it in their regular life. I mean, everybody has their different things. Some people look at it like it's something you go with your partner, it gets you fired up, and then you can go do whatever. Point being, they want to be treated as human. They want to be treated as equal as bartenders. I didn't know bartenders had it that good, but apparently bartenders is living it up. Bartenders is they the real. And so strippers want to be treated like bartenders. I didn't think you'd ever hear that as a person, you want to be like, I want to be equitable with bartenders. Not human, the bartenders. Yeah. Am I delusional talking about them, talking about it? I just think it's just funny. It's like, I want to be a bartender. But, hey, apparently bartenders are living it up. But who is not living it up, though? Not that anybody be shocked. Y'all remember Trump inauguration performer, R&B, never to be a legend, Chrisette Michelle. She announced she's been dropped from her label and that she's been suicidal. According to Chrisette, she says she's been dropped from Capitol Records, and she wrote on Instagram, and I quote, "I complete an entire album and my label decides to walk away from me. Capitol Records. I was quiet for a few days. I go into the studio and literally poured out my heart and soul, and the label decides to walk away from me." And it's like, you want, maybe I need to just say what we all know is true, that once you go white, you can never go back. I know when I say once you go white, it's not a sexual act. It's once you sell out, black folks don't want you back. It's like when you lose your black audience, you have no audience, because we know the mainstream audience is black folks will stay and love you forever. Forever. Mainstream audience, because we're going to take race out of the equation, right? The mainstream audience, they not going to love you forever. They're going to love you until the next person. And her going to the Trump inauguration, it's like, did you think all those rednecks that were there were going to buy your album? I mean, that's the funny part. I guess she thought all those rednecks there were going to buy her album. No. I mean, the love for her was so low, they didn't even put her album out. They didn't even put her album out because they knew that she had no buzz with the people who actually would buy her record, which would be us. At that point, and it's something that if you're a singer, performer, whatever, black folks don't want you. Nobody wants you. And it's what I say to you all the time. You are the kingmaker. King and queen maker. Because if y'all say it's dope, everybody in the world is going to jump on the bandwagon. Chrisette Michelle, when she went and did that, she said, "I don't want to sell no records to black folks ever again." Not understanding that, yeah, she got paid whatever she got paid, and she had a whole bunch of folks listen to her who will never buy a record from her, who will never go see her in concert. See, it's one of them things where she didn't even understand. It's like, you did that? they ain't going to see you in concert ever. I hope maybe she can, you know, get her name back up in karaoke bars. Sing her heart and soul out in the karaoke bars, win a few contests across the country. Maybe if she changed her name, get a little facelift, do the whole Lil' Kim, Michael Jackson thing, just change it to a vampire and somebody else, and, you know, you can sell again. I don't know. I don't know if she ever sold anything. I've never really listened to her, and once she did what she did, wasn't really going to listen to her anyway. But if this was her way of getting publicity, that's not going to work. Like telling folks, I want to kill myself. I felt suicidal because I did this album and nobody wants to hear it and they won't put it out. It's, yeah, because they're not wasting money on you. Good luck. Yeah. While I'm saying good luck, it is time for my dumbass of the week. Yeah. Always got to get that last one in. Now, everyone remembers Paddock, the guy who shot all the people in Vegas. His brother, his dumb ass brother, Stephen Paddock's brother, Bruce Paddock, brags about, after his brother shot and killed all those people, he's bragging about, that's my brother. I mean, like, he's like, they said that he's in a nursing home, right? Or as they call it, a living assistant. Spot. Anyway, he's bragging to other patients about what his brother had done. Think about that for a second. Yo, my brother just killed a whole lot of people. And you bragging about that? Who brags about a family member killing people? Him. Stupid. And this dude has kiddie porn that he was indulging in, and he got popped for it. the thought that, yeah, he's bragging about his brother killing a whole lot of people. Then he comes out and is like, you know what? I'm going to tell y'all, my brother killed a whole lot of folks. I don't care. And he looking at kiddie porn on his computer. Like, they're already going to be looking at you. It is a reasonable expectation. Why? Because your brother just killed a bunch of people. So they're looking at the family. They're looking at anything to see, well, what is the problem? This dumbass put himself in the spotlight and got caught up. I can't say that I feel sorry for him, because I don't. And the fact that he's going to jail, his old ass is going to jail. I hope he's down with the Nazis or whatever. I mean, because assisted living and going to jail, I don't know how that equates, you know, the whole rape factor. You know, this is the delusional rape show. He might get raped so much in his elderly days that he will be delusional. I don't know. That's just bad. I probably need to go on break. Not probably. I'm just going to go on break. This is Chub Rock. Caught up.
Warm, I'm like a wizard. I make a blizzard and a storm. Pack knowledge from a college with a dorm, and I'm greater than Schwarzenegger. I'm strong, you'll be hurt when I sing a LaVert song. I'm storming like Norman, but my name ain't Norm. Fighting is a crime, so I'll drop the diamond. Go on and on to the tick, tick, pop. Give a tumor and the tumor, cause I am Chub Rock. When you chuckle, hit you with a low buckle and beat you. Beat you with a pick buckle, low pick. Go, you better hit the exit. You need a value pack, you little anorexic. You'll be yawning in the morning at the crack of dawn to the groove. It's your move, you little pawn. When the rhythm delivered is specific, I'll gently check me. Then move the bishop to queen level four. Know what's in store? Sing to the king, then take the board to the crib. Before she can't think again how I knocked the boot from here to Michigan. I'm caught up.
Man, woman, there's infinity.
Chub Rock, one of my early favorites. Caught up way before Treat 'Em Right, but It's all the same. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. Welcome back to the Delusional Rape Show. Although I probably shouldn't say delusional rape, because I don't think there's any delusional rape. It's rape is planned and calculated. No, if you follow sports, everybody knows about the protests and them going back and forth, and now we've gotten to the point where, once again, we're not talking about the police killing black people, unarmed black people like myself. Instead, we're just like the national anthem, and we're all focused on that. Anyway, Bob McNair came out earlier this week, and you know, we talked about how he said that the inmates are running the asylum, and how, you know, the Houston Texans, the players, they protested, and they did the kneel and all that sort of stuff, and you know, dudes didn't want to show up for practice, and it was some negative energy around the whole organization. So, sitting around talking to one of my coworkers, and what flashes on the news feed, Houston Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson tears his ACL. And I'm sitting up here like, damn it, like that brother was hooping. And then at the same time, you're like, man, that negative energy that he brought, the owner, Bob McNair, brought to the team, manifested itself with the players. Their J.J. Watt, their star defensive end, had already hurt himself. And now their star offensive player, Deshaun Watson, hurts himself and is out for the season. It's like, you know, it's one of those when things aren't right about you, it kind of filters down into everything that you're doing when you're on the wrong side. And, you know, everyone that has done wrong, and when we're talking about the NFL in general, it's been awful. I mean, there are some people who are into it, but I myself am like, I've just been football's on. Like, there's no real, and the bad thing is, yeah, I'm a Saints fan. Everybody knows I'm a Saints fan. My Saints are in first place, and normally I'd be giddy, like, yeah, Saints, I'd be talking, I got my Saints gear. I mean, I still, you know, my Saints stuff, I'd just be talking, just running my mouth, talking about damn Saints. But it's like, you know, the whole Kaepernick thing, because the whole injustice in my head and what we're talking about as far as injustice towards black folks, poor people, I can't ignore that. I can't throw the blinders on when it comes to the fact that we're still talking about unarmed black men, which was what the protest started off as and stays at in the center of any conversation that I'm going to have about it right there. I'm not going nowhere else. I mean, there's national anthem, protesting the military, all that foolishness. I'm not even thinking about that. I'm thinking about where we started. Unarmed black citizens of America being shot and killed indiscriminately, not because they're criminal combatants, but just because they are. That's what that is. That's what the protests are all about. So if people aren't kneeling and putting their hands on shoulders because of that, then they're doing the wrong thing. And I know there are some people who are legitimately focusing on this issue and talking about this issue. Still, they're obviously not being highlighted for the reasons that we know that the media don't want to focus on the real issue. They rather the sensational issue, and part of that is just to part of the issue was just to make folks focus on the red herring, which was the national anthem, and disrespecting the military. So you don't have to deal with the other part. But unfortunately for them, the military and the backlash where both sides of the equation have kind of like, okay, we don't have nothing to do, because it's like, the patriotic white people don't have anything to do with the NFL because of the protests, and the non-patriotic black folks don't have anything to do with the NFL because of their treatment, their negative treatment of us. So NFL is kind of stuck in between, and they're losing money, and the attendance is bearing itself out, and sponsorship, lack of sponsorship, as well as some of the other factors like the CTE and parents realizing that there's a reason why football is only played in one on one continent, and the other is like there's no real impetus. They tried to unite the of European League, and it didn't do all that swell because people in other countries realized running into each other constantly, having a car wreck a day playing football, which is what it equates to, is not a good living. And that's the reason why only in America is football big. It's big nowhere else. I mean, there's the delusion, and a lot of people are deluded here in America. They're like, oh, football number one. It's like, well, you can't get other people to watch it in other countries. They'll watch the Super Bowl sort of like we watch the Super Bowl here as the spectacle for the commercials, and, oh, they'll watch one game. But as something consistently, like, I got to see that, nah, they don't give a shit. Football is like, them crazy Americans hurting each other. Probably how they look at it, watch it like, yeah, let's watch them hurt each other. And, oh, okay, yeah, they're crazy. And then they move on. And they watch the real football, which we call soccer. But I am being more of a hater and not talking about my hater of the week.
Hate.
I hate you. All right, our hater of the week, Jeffrey Scullin Jr., who is engaged to the daughter of a sixth grade teacher, Melinda Pleskovic. He was arrested Tuesday by Strongsville police. He is being held in lieu of $1 million bond. Why is he being held? What was he arrested for? This dude arrested for aggravated murder charge for killing his fiance's mother last month. Yeah. So the teacher, sixth grade teacher, Melinda Pleskovic, was found dead inside her home last week. She'd been stabbed and shot. And Scullin was one of the two people to call 911 to report his would have been future mother-in-law's death. Police told reporters that the husband called 911 after returning home with Scullin to find her on the floor in a pool of blood. And he, you know, I think my wife is dead. And, you know, and during the call, they said that there had been break-ins before the killing. But all the information had come from Scullin killing his mother-in-law. I mean, there's no real motive that they can think of. Everything is speculation at this point, but you killed your mother-in-law. And you know, there's that stereotype that, oh, the mother-in-law, like, oh my God, the mother-in-law, but damn, you ain't even got married. And I'm going to take an educated guess that not going to get married now. I don't think she's going to marry you in jail. I'm just guessing. You killed my mama. I'm not going to marry you. It's just an educated assumption. Novi, I'm never high. I'm actually the other guy who has never gotten high, not one day in his life. The statistical anomaly. Anyway, so yeah, hater of the week is Mr. Scullin Jr. May he find all the great sex and whatever he was looking for on the outside in jail. I hope that works out for you. Don't kill your mother-in-law, ladies and gentlemen. I guess that's the message here. But you know, I'm saying, like, I'm talking about this as delusional rape show. Have y'all noticed that everybody and their mama is coming out talking about this, one, the Harvey Weinstein stuff. Weinstein. I mean, the fact that he raped damn near everybody in Hollywood. And everybody's talking about it, and it's like everybody's coming out with their stories. I mean, got Kevin Spacey, dude coming out like, yeah, Kevin Spacey, you know, was messing with me. And then Alex Baldwin comes out, admits, hey, I bullied women, and he calls for a change in Hollywood. It's like, so let me get this straight. If I come out and say, hey, I beat women, there should be a change. I mean, am I the valid voice for that? If I'm engaging in and have been engaging in whooping women's asses, should I be the one who come out like, well, it happens in Hollywood. It's happened. I've done it. I've bullied women, and I've done all this negative stuff to women. So I'm leading the charge. I always talk about the delusional bizarro world, the backwards bizarro world that we live in, where everything is backwards. Because the people leading the charge are the people who done the shit. I'm like, shouldn't the people leading the charge be the folks that haven't done it? You know, so I throw myself out there like I'm saying, hey, that shit is wrong. I don't support women. It's like the whole R. Kelly thing. I mean, the people support it, and I've had the private conversations about it with friends. But I'll say this: I'm not a parent who would report and do a press conference talking about a dude abusing my daughter. That is not good parenting. If you're a real parent and someone is abusing your daughter, I'm not calling reporters. I'm coming to see you. If my daughter is in the compound with you, I'm coming to see you. So, yeah, even if she wants to stay, I'm going to keep coming back. So he's probably going to be like, nah, girl, your daddy crazy. You got to go. So by being a good parent, yeah, she'll hate you, but whatever. But if you raise your kid right, that probably won't happen. But side point being, we see, I mean, it's out there now. I mean, Kevin Spacey's talking about, yeah, I'm going to get treatment now so I can be better. And it's like, I mean, am I missing something? So now we can just come out, yeah, I did it. I'm doing all kinds of bad shit. And it's cool now. I mean, that's where we at. I mean, it's some really, like I said, delusional shit. Because everybody and their mama coming out. Yeah, I've treated women in a very sexist way. I've bullied women. I've overlooked women. I've underestimated women. You know? And this is Alec Baldwin. He's saying, from time to time, I've done what a lot of men do, which is when you don't treat women the same way you treat men, you don't. I'm from a generation where you really don't, and I'd like that to change. I would really like that to change. And yes, as Anomaly says, Netflix dropped House of Cards. But House of Cards is at the end anyway. And the point being, I mean, Kevin Spacey is still like, you know, a big actor. Now, whether or not this affects him majorly, I don't know. I mean, you know, because he heroically, and you notice my hint of satire, he heroically came out as gay, right? The heroism that it took to tell people that I like sleeping with men. He came out, he's a hero now, but at the same time, he's a heel. So how do we address a dude that was apparently, and see, I don't say it when it's like one time, because, you know, one time it, you know, it may not have gone how people say it, right? It may not have gone how people say it, but when it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, when you have multiple times, that's a pattern, right? What's the pattern? I abuse my power and I take advantage of people. And we've seen that. I remember, and we all remember how they was dogging Bill Cosby, right? Bill Cosby's in the, everybody made a joke, rightly so. And you know, I have zero sympathy for Cos. But you're Alec Baldwin's. I don't no sympathy for them. I mean, he's admitting I did it. He just, nobody came out on him yet. So I guess he was getting out in front of it like, yeah, I've been bad towards women, and I need that to change. Because it was a generation. It was what I was taught. And now I know better not to talk bad about women, because y'all have power now and you will stop watching my shows and I won't get anything greenlit and it'll be over with for me. I mean, that's why he's coming out. Allegedly. Funny stuff. Funny stuff. On that note, I probably need to go on break. More than likely, I should go on break. So I'm going to take the L here on this And I'm going to go on break. This is Nas, Memory Lane.
Talk about
I don't even know. I do know where to start, but I don't know where to start. So I just go with the homie and just, you just gonna go groundhog.
That shit happened again? Oh, hell no.
What is that shit that happened again? Well, I think y'all know. We're going to talk about Frank Nucera Jr., a former New Jersey police chief, is facing federal charges in connection with the racially motivated attack. This dude, he said, African Americans had no value and were like ISIS, and suggested putting us before a firing squad. And this is the dude, Frank Nucera Jr., who until recently was chief of Bordentown Township Police Department in New Jersey. He instructed his officers to position police dogs at high school basketball games to intimidate African Americans. He's also facing a hate crime charge and a federal civil rights charge. FBI Special Agent Vernon Addison wrote in the affidavit that Nucera has a significant history of making racist comments concerning African Americans, to whom he frequently referred to as the N-word, not the us, but the ers, and Italian-derived racial slurs for African Americans. One of Nucera's officers made numerous recordings of Nucera that contained extremely offensive racist comments over the course of the year because he was alarmed by Nucera's racism. Yeah. He had nothing good to say about us at all. And this is a dude in charge. Now, think about that for a second. Hate black folks so much. Hey, if you're at the basketball game, put the dogs up so that they can be scared. They know that, hey, you hit them buckets, we're going to release the dog during the game. I mean, irrational hate. Not because the content of your character. Doesn't even matter that nobody was a criminal. It's just the fact that he just was like, yeah, I hate them. Arrest them. Let the dogs loose on them. Kill them, whatever. They are worthless. Groundhog Day. It's what we've been referred to here in America since day one. And we're on day whatever the hell you want to count it as. We're there. November 2nd, 2017, and ain't a damn thing changed. I mean, so we're not here. Once again, we talking about these national anthem protests. Day one, we ain't shit. Day whatever, hundreds of thousands it is, we still ain't shit. Just thought. Groundhog Day for black people. And speaking of another Groundhog Day, when we start talking about delusion here, and how things are differently perceived or perceived differently. Danny Masterson, you talking about delusional rape, right? Overwhelming evidence against actor Danny Masterson. What did Danny Masterson do? Well, he was a guy on That 70s Show, and four women have accused him of raping them in the early 2000s. Now, they talk about him as a Scientologist. I don't give a shit about him being a Scientologist. I care about him being a rapist. I mean, Scientology, that's what does that mean? I mean, his whatever his religious beliefs, that's kind of immaterial. He's a rapist. He's a rapist whether he was pagan, Christian, Buddhist, Muslim, Sikh. Doesn't really matter. He's a rapist. Overwhelming evidence, but the case is stalled. The case is stalled. Groundhog Day. I mean, and see, when we talk about this, systematically, rape. Rape is like a close first cousin of racism, right? I mean, people won't tie it in that way. But when you talk about you overpower somebody and you take advantage of them at the highest, most personal level, you violated their space, their temple, their body. And then if the person tells on you, they have to go through all the villainy that comes with proving that I wasn't asking for it from this person that took advantage of me and violated me at the highest level of vile stivity, as Robin Harris would say it if he was still alive. If you come out and say somebody raped you, you're saying that you want people to talk badly and think badly about you, because people think more negatively towards the victim than they do the motherfucker who perpetrates the crime. That's a serious ass issue. You're a bad person because someone violated you. That's how society thinks on it. So we got this dude, that 70s star, Danny Masterson. He's accused. Overwhelming evidence, but the case is stalling. Why? Because it's hard to believe that somebody will take advantage of somebody. And even when you have, because we talked about the guy, 30 minutes of action, and he got off, the judge was like, yeah, 30 minutes of action does not mean that he should lose. I mean, because what we're talking about and why I tie in the racism with rape, because we're still talking about taking advantage of someone. You have power over someone, and you take advantage of them. And you violate them for your personal reasons. And just how people get away with racist acts, you get away with rape, molestation, because it is a person in power's burden. Right? A person in power takes advantage of you. And see, I will contend that, and have always contended and will continue to contend, that people who are in power have a hard time convicting people who are acting like them, because you're looking in the mirror. It's like, yeah, I do that every day. I take advantage of people because they're there to be taken advantage of. So why should I convict? Because some people say no, but if we look at it, that's what it is, right? People in power taking advantage of people who are less powerful. From the Weinstein to what everybody, I talked about Baldwin admitting, yeah, I did it, but it's got to change. I'm sorry. Don't sue me. Don't come out against me. I'm sorry. I did it. I'm sorry. Because that's the cool thing to do now. But power dynamics still haven't changed. this dude is guilty of sin, but case is stalled. Got witnesses, got everything you need, but nah, he not going to jail. And I bring that up because, you know, when I talk about stereotypes, you know, we know we had the unfortunate tragedy in New York yesterday where the guy killed 8 people and injured, I think, like 15 more. He's a terrorist, based all over the place. He's with ISIS, blah, 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 blah. Talked about earlier, Paddock's brother bragging about my brother killed a lot of people. And, you know, they're talking about Paddock and still not called a terrorist. What do they say about him? And I quote, "The man who shot hundreds and killed 58 at the Route 91 Harvest Music Festival a month ago was a narcissist who may have seen his image as a high-rolling gambler declining," Clark Sheriff Joe Lombardo said as the investigation entered into its second month. And I quote him. He says, "He was going through some bouts of depression, but he was status driven. Said he had been losing money for 2 years and had been showing signs of depression." Okay. He's not a terrorist. He's a narcissist who may have been undergoing depression because he was a rich guy who lost money gambling. Not a terrorist. The other guy who killed 8 people and injured 15, terrorist. Guy who killed 58 and injured hundreds, narcissist. White guy, narcissist. Arab, terrorist. Black person, dangerous, ISIS, or as the New Jersey cop says, yeah, just like ISIS. Kill them all. Firing squad. You see how the narrative changes when it comes? I mean, they're still investigating. Why? What is there to investigate? He was a crazy terrorist. No, he wasn't connected to ISIS, but he's horrible. If ISIS is horrible, Paddock is horrible. Hard for folks to say that. I mean, he's a terrible individual. And any people who can't put those two together and say they're the same guy, they kill people indiscriminately for no good reason. There was no good reason. No one was attacking them. They attacked others. Same guy to me. I don't see the difference. Obviously, we know society has a slight difference because, well, we're trained that if it's not white, it's not right. But that's got to go. That's got to die. Anyway, on that note, I am Mr. F the N Word. This is another Smooth Drum production. And, you know, I'm out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hair.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Together, you've got smooth drummer.